Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 1, we were discussing angels and how an angel is a messenger of God. When the word angel is referring to a man in Scripture, it is making reference to a pastor. Let's continue with that subject today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we read this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Do you realize, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the clear teaching of the Word of God. I mean, it's not a Baptist doctrine, although Baptists believe this. This is a Bible doctrine. If you're saved, you have the very Spirit of God living within you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you're not saved. So we don't have to go to God through angels. We have the Holy Spirit who makes groanings for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ who intercedes for us. Now, why in the world would anyone want to replace them with an angel or with a group of angels? Now understand, the name angel means messenger. And sometimes it is used in the Bible to refer to human people. For example, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it talks about the angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at Smyrna, and it goes on through naming the angel at each of these churches. And the angel is actually the pastor of those churches. Why? Because the word angel means messenger. And the pastor has a responsibility to bring God's message to the people of the local church. That is what he's charged with. That's why a pastor needs to be a man of the book. That's why he needs to preach this book. And that's why he needs to preach the right book. Now, isn't it interesting? We live in a day where about every month you have the new version of the month. Over 200 versions of the Bible in English. And it's not to give you greater understanding. Don't you think that we would have long before 200 had greater understanding if that was the situation? My folks, it's just that as old Barnum, P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every 60 seconds. And if they're religious, boy, you can really get them. And so all they do is they come out with the new version of the Bible telling you how much better it'll make you as a Christian and how much more spiritual, and people buy it. No, you just stick with that King James Bible. Using these word studies that we're using as we go along, many times you'll miss that in these other versions. For an example, Matthew 18:11. We think of Christmas time. And those with these other versions say, well, we don't ever remove anything from the Bible that has any importance, doctrinally speaking. Okay, well, Matthew 18:11, in many of these other versions, is not even there. It says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now, let me ask you something. Was it important that Jesus came to save that which was lost? If he has not come to save that which was lost, and if that's not important, then why did he come? And so people say, well, it may not be in the best manuscripts. Listen, it is in the Textus Receptus. Matter of fact, as I study these books of the Bible, I'll read 10, 12 different authors, but I always have a Textus Receptus by me for the New Testament. And as I read, some authors will say, this is not in the best manuscripts. I'll just look. And if it is in there, then I can just write that off. That author doesn't know what he's talking about. So understand, the word messenger is a definition of the word angel. Now, being made here in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 1 says being made so much better. Being made does not refer to Jesus being created in his deity. Rather, it refers to his lowering himself to become a man, in that he emptied himself of heaven's glory in order to be made a man. He subjected himself to human limitations. Jesus told us in John 4 that God is a spirit. And Jesus always existed in eternity past as a spirit. But then he has since become a man. And in that humanity of his, he is even made better than the angels. Now, when we go to heaven, we will be like him, the Bible says, for we shall see him as he is. Now, do you want to be like Jesus, or do you want to be like an angel? My friend, I just want to take God his promise that we'll be like Jesus in that glorified body. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be an angel. No, I'm going to be a redeemed human man, and that's what I want to be. And I want what God wants for me in heaven, not what men place in their writings, making us angels with little harps strumming on them sitting on a cloud. No, that's not the way it's going to be. I'm going to live in a pearly, great city of jewels and great pearls and all kinds of gold, and it's going to be beautiful. Read Revelation chapters 21, 22 that tells about that city, and you will love it. Now, to be better than the angels, when we think of their great power, and angels do have great power, to be better than the angels, one would need to be God. That's why Christians worship the Lord Jesus Christ as their Almighty God and Savior. Now, there are those out there that teach that Jesus was an angel, that he was a good angel, that he was a God, but not Almighty God. Well, can he be good and not be God? Let us think. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5, we read this. And this is part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, folks, again, we're looking here, God saying that no other gods. Don't even make an image of any other god, not even of anything in heaven. In the tabernacle, there was the mercy seat with two angels on each side. But do you realize the angels were not the focus when the high priest would go in there? It was that mercy seat, and that's where he would meet the Lord, and the Lord would be upon that mercy seat. And so it is an offense to God to make an image. He doesn't even want an image of Jesus Christ on the cross. By the way, our Jesus is not on a cross any longer. He was only there for less than a day, and he was in a tomb for 3 days, and then he left that, and he's never gone back to a tomb. So my friend, my Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. So I don't want a Jesus that's on a cross. I want a living Savior. And my Savior is risen. And so we're not to make images of anything in heaven, anything on earth, or anything under the earth. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14 says this, "For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Now, what do you think God thinks of someone who receives worship that is due unto God? Now, we know in the book of Acts, chapter 12, Herod, he was struck with worms when he received the worship that was due unto God. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius bowed to worship Peter, he told him, "Get up and get on back on your feet. I'm just a man as you are." and he would not receive that worship that was due unto God. And so when we see that God is a jealous God, it is an abomination. It is a very terrible sin for anything, any person, anyone to receive worship that is due unto God. And the Bible tells us so. Now the next passage I want to look at is Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. There says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Now notice there, he said there is no God formed before him or after him. And he said, beside him, there is no Savior. So God says, he is Savior. Now again, even those cults that say there's only one God and it's not Jesus, even they admit that this verse is talking about Almighty God. And God here says only he is Savior. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, we read this. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am first, and I am last, and beside me there is no God." And then verse 8 of Isaiah 44, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. There is no God beside me. Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So, we're told here, there's not any other God. Only one. The next verse I'd like to look at is in Psalms chapter 45 and verse 6. It's actually the verse that is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. And here it says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." So we see here that the God that he's referring to here, that he says, "Thy throne, O God," this is Almighty God. Okay, that's what Psalms is saying. Almighty God is forever and ever. In Hebrews 1:8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Now here we see the Son called, O God, same word, only in Greek. And it is quoting Psalm 45 and verse 6. And by the way, in the Greek Textus Receptus, which is the right Greek text, God is capitalized. And you should know that. And it's referring to him in his almightiness.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Sands on the hills may tumble, it will firm me stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will